Red Film Radio, this is Chiara Nicoletti from the 9th edition of Rome International Film Festival and Alice nella Città, and today I'm joined by Richard Curtis, scriptwriter of the film Trash by Stephen Daldry. So did you and Stephen come on board at the same time on the project?
Yeah, I mean, if there was a gap, it would have been a week or two. I think it was Chris's intention was to ask both of us, as it were, together. I don't remember any meetings without Stephen.
What was the attraction for you in adapting the book?
I really liked the book, which is, of course, and I'm very bad at books. I much prefer films and television, so I don't read many. Maybe it was the surprise of reading a book at all. I loved the book is written in a lot of voices that tell the story very urgently. I love the shape of the story. You know, it's fundamentally about things that I'm interested in. Also, I'm very, as a father of three boys, I'm interested in young men deciding what to do these days. So, I've been a friend of Chris's for ages and a friend of Stephen's, and we've often talked about doing something. So everything was good. I didn't necessarily feel I was the best qualified person to do it, but I was glad.
Why do you say that?
Well, only because I haven't written as many action films as I wish I had. That's all.
Religion is playing a very important role in the film. So how come? Was it your interest or was it given by, I don't know, the atmosphere of Brazil?
Well, that's interesting. I mean, Stephen was always very keen on that side. And I was very religious when I was young, till about the age of about 16, when perhaps wrongly, I thought the choice was between God and girls, and because rather hardcore religious opinions, and I thought God said if you so much as look upon a woman with lust, you have to pluck out your eye, which I wasn't keen to do. So that stuff did strike me as being true in extremis. I remember once going on Magic Mountain at Disneyland and starting to believe in God again when I was about 30, because I thought I was in trouble. And I did find all that. I did think, wow, if you were really at the end, that is where you'd turn. In fact, I was quite keen on an idea when they're trying to solve the book that there should have been a religious thing on the wall, or just a poster which says, and the first should be last and the last should be first. And that was the thing which gave them idea that they should go backwards along the page, but I think Stephen thought that was glib. so I wasn't allowed to do it.
Was it clear from the beginning that the story in the end was a sort of a fable, a fairy tale?
Well, it's interesting. I know Stephen keeps saying a fable. I don't think of it as that. I mean, I think that the tradition of adventure stories is that more often than usual things turn out well. Most people who do bank robberies get shot or just put in jail. But in lots of movies about bank robberies, the guys drive away in a car with, across the border into Monte Carlo and stuff. So I just think of it as an adventure story with a happy ending. And there is a kind of moral shape to it. It starts by finding a wallet, it ends with them throwing away the money in exactly the same place. And I love all that, and I love the idea that it's about, you know, redistribution and justice and all of that things. But I don't think of it as a fairy story. And I think all the work that we did, if what fairy stories try and do is make things more and more sort of good guy, bad guy, charming prince, all of that, I think we were trying to be as realistic once we decided on doing the story as we could. So I think that's just a sort of, I think that's a way of saying we didn't think it was our job to represent the most pessimistic or socially realistic view of things that can go wrong. But I think we just were telling the story that was in the book that we all loved.
I haven't read the book, but Stephen just defined film also, yes, fable, but also as a mashup of various genres. So, and at first, since you haven't done a lot of action films, I was wondering where I could find you. And one of the things that where I found you is this balance, which is a combination of ironic moments and drama. Like, it's perfectly balanced, and these are the elements that I always love about your films. So I was wondering if that's what I see is what you put in the film, it's plus and what of that was in the book?
Well, I think a lot of that was in the book, actually. I mean, one of the things, I've been to Africa a lot of times, many more times than Brazil, and whenever you go there, because I run a charity event, wherever you go there, we take people to very hard places, and the thing they're most surprised about is the high spirits and normality of the people who live in places where life is hard. And I remember even when I went to Ethiopia in 1985, which was in the middle of the famine there, I was surprised by the kind of normality, and particularly amongst the kids, the kind of sense this was the life they had, and they didn't know they were in a tragic situation. So I think that would be my instinct, even into something that's meant to be a drama, to put a lot of kind of normality and I think what happened with the boys was he found that really the case, that the three actors, whatever situation they were in, would try and make light of it, would try and say, well, we wouldn't be scared by this, and this is how we would react. And I think all of that is really interesting in the film, the way that no matter how bad it gets, and obviously sometimes they are right down, but they tend to find a way out by being, you know, not so afraid, more perky, like in the whole scene where they run away throwing the Bible and all that kind of stuff. It's they're then in a chase, they're not in a, you know, life-threatening situation as they feel it. So that was, I mean, there were a lot, oddly enough, I did find lots of things I was interested in, and the more, you know, who knows why something calls out to you. But I've got three sons who are 10 and 12 and 17, and they're certainly, the 10-year-old's quite like Ratto, and the 12-year-old's quite morally serious, and then I'm very interested in the issues of social justice that the movie's about, and all of that. So I mean, another influence on the movie, in fact, was a brilliant documentary series in the UK called Welcome to Lagos, which is a really interesting series about, certainly some of it, one of the main places is set in a trash dump in Lagos, where life is good. They're all saying what great haircuts you get there and how cheap the food is and everything. It's a really interesting way of looking at poverty.
Did you have to go through a lot of documentation work prior to the writing and the shooting?
I mean, we our first visit to Rio was the strangest one, because, you know, you say to people, if you ever say to those people, I'm going to Rio, they assume you're going with Frank Sinatra on a private plane, you're going to hang out at the Copacabana Palace Hotel and drink lots of caipirinhas. Whereas what we did is we went to the rubbish dumps, to the favelas, to the prisons, to talk to people about corruption and politics and everything. So we did try to learn as much as we could, but then I have to say, I'm not very obsessed by research, because in a way I don't know how to deal with it. I try and write what I think is the best thing and then have other people check and reassure you that it's not wrong. And a lot of what Stephen and Chris did, and Felipe, who I was working with, is say, yeah, that does make sense, that will be okay. Or what would make sense is that they would, I mean, I remember when we were looking for the hideout where they were going to live, everyone was trying to work out what kind of place would you find in a favela, because I think that was originally some kind of strange underground place. And they said, well, actually there are lots of half-finished buildings, and that would be where you would end up. So I think it was a mixture between some research, doing the book and the story, and then having it corrected and moved in the direction that would make it real.
So a documentary would be interesting for you?
I think many of the best films being made these days are documentaries. It's just that's not my skill. But we watched The Wasteland, the documentary about, you know, whether he took those people off Gramacho and made works of art out of them. I think The Stories We Tell was my favourite film of last year, which is a documentary.
In terms of working with Felipe, did you write the whole script and in English and then you gave it to him to translate? Or how was the whole process?
Felipe was part of the... he certainly did do that at some points. But the bit that we were just describing was also, because we like had a script and then Stephen just tore it apart repeatedly. And Felipe was with us during all the tearing apart bits. And sometimes I would say to him, why don't you have a go at this bit? Because this bit, it's, you know, we're all worried about the sort of form and how the police person would talk to this kind of person. So it was quite a flexible, you know, writing method. And then you know, the boys were very free with what we wrote. I had to accept that, that they just weren't going to be able to have, I mean, I think the kind of rhythm of some scenes that I wrote was replaced by another rhythm. You know, this is meant to be a scene in which you're teasing and you're having fun and stuff like that, and I would work how I wanted to do it, and then something slightly different would emerge when the boys did it. And that was the, you know, that was the condition on which I wrote it. I wasn't fighting for another way. But it was interesting for me that. And actually, the editing of the film was absolutely gripping and strange because everything was in subtitles. And then what you do when you're editing down a movie in English, of course, is you kind of find, you know, you just do the cut where it makes sense. You take out four sentences and you use half of another sentence and suddenly the dialogue works. Now, we did that, but without really knowing whether or not it would work. And then we had to take it, you know, we had a person who spoke Portuguese who, after we'd done the edit in that day, would say, well, this bit, actually, the fall of the sentence doesn't really work there. So there was quite a complicated ADR schedule and quite a complicated, you know, that whole process was complicated all the way through, but we didn't allow it to stop us, you know, making the film we wanted. But it was just more complicated than usual.
Did you do all that back in London?
And then, you know, Stephen went back for a long ADR session with the boys, back in slightly worrying about the voice being deeper than it had been before. And then we did shoot the. We were always going to shoot the pieces to camera. We shot them twice. We shot them when we were there, but then we also always knew that whatever that was going to act as some kind of glue in a slightly different way.
Do you see this as a unique experience, like an action film, and will you go back to romantic comedies as you used to?
I'm not going to say I see this film as a romantic comedy, because I don't. I'm sort of doing things one step at a time. In fact, I've just done a Roald Dahl adaptation for the BBC, and that's with Judi Dench and Dustin Hoffman, and that weirdly is a sort of romantic comedy, and I thought I wasn't going to write any more, but it's about... I've always wanted to write something about my mum and dad, and I always thought it was going to be a sad thing about what happened at the end of their lives, but it turns out I've written a happy thing about falling in love. So you never know what's next going to, you know, attract your attention.
Well, family has always been an interesting thing for you.
It is, but also friendship. That's one of the things I realised. I suddenly realised that Four Weddings and Notting Hill are really as much films about friendship as they are films about romance. But I've actually, one of the sacrifices I've made in my life is that I've had less time for my friends recently. So it was rather a pleasure remembering my friends while working on this film.
Did the boys surprise you some way when you, I don't know, saw the results of the shooting for the first time?
Yeah, well, no, they've surprised and frightened me all the way through. Do you know what I mean? I mean, I think casting kids is really, really hard, even if you're looking for actors. You know, when we did Love Actually, we found one kid who was brilliant, but the other 30 were no good at all. You know, I just couldn't get anything out of them. So it was kind of amazing to see this different way of dealing with kid actors, which is to find boys with remarkable and clear personality and look and relationship with each other, and try and capture that instead of trying to force your thing onto it. And I think that, you know, they ended up, I think, in a way, Ratto's the one who's least like the book, because Ratto in the book, I think, was much more extreme. He was much more, as it were, rat-like and rejected and everything like that. But Gabriel was so delightful that we worked for him.
This morning.
Yeah. And it was such a, you know, were you all there this morning during the press conference? It was so frustrating because you got a glimpse. And then if we'd waited 15 more minutes, they would have turned into themselves. You know, but you got a glimpse of what they were like and quite how you know, energetic and anarchic they were. And that was one of the really exciting things, that their instinct in every scene was not to be afraid. You know, whereas I'd written quite a lot of things where they say, well, they'd be terrified now, won't they? But the boys would say, no, this would be fun. This would be an adventure. So it was quite, on the whole, their instinct was to underplay the emotion. But then, you know, you can tell the moment when they were faced with the fire, and that's one of the most profound ones. And I think that was partly the fear of the fire. You know, they're standing in front of a set that they'd been working on for, you know, 2 months, suddenly utterly destroyed, and you got the sense of the heat and the fear and all of that. So it was a really interesting way of working with.
Thank you so much, Richard Curtis, for being here with us on Fred Free Radio for the film Trash by Stephen Daldry. And this is Chiara Nicoletti from the 9th edition of Rome International Film Festival and Alice nella Città for Fred, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.